Here's your money briefing for Friday, January 15th. I'm Charlie Turner for the Wall Street Journal. It used to be if you wanted to buy stock in a company, you had to pay whatever the share price was in order to do it. But lately, more investors are buying fractions of shares by the dollar.
It's just more accessible for people now. A lot of these platforms will, you know, show you the dollar up front. You don't have to kind of do the math on the back end or try and reframe your own approach. It's how it's presented to you.
So does buying stock by the dollar make more sense than buying by the share? We'll talk with our personal finance reporter, Julia Carpenter, about what this dramatic shift in stock purchasing is all about after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Vanta. Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging. Vanta's trust management platform helps you quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more. Plus, save time by completing security questionnaires with Vanta AI. Learn how by watching Vanta's on-demand demo at vanta.com/WSJ. That's VANTA.com/WSJ.
Investors are increasingly buying stocks with an eye toward how much money they can afford to spend rather than how many shares they want to purchase. More services are catering to this kind of investing, from online brokerages like Robinhood to established wealth managers like Fidelity and Charles Schwab. Let's talk about this growing investment trend with our personal finance reporter, Julia Carpenter. Julia, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Julia, it seems like this is becoming a pretty popular way of investing in stocks. Why are more people doing it this way?
When I was talking to investors who use these platforms and are intrigued by the idea of fractional investing, one of the things that kept coming up again and again is that they could choose the amount of money they wanted to put toward their investment. So while we have stocks like Netflix or Tesla that are in the hundreds of dollars, somebody who has $10 can put $10 toward those stocks. So it's appealing to people who like the idea.
So this concept of fractional investing is really taking off.
Absolutely. A lot of these big firms are releasing platforms. Robinhood is a really popular platform for this. There's a whole bunch of players in this space, but people on the whole are really drawn to the idea of being able to buy small slices.
Are there certain kinds of people who are more likely to purchase stock by the dollar?
I think I've talked with a lot of people who think about dollar cost averaging as their primary strategy. So those people usually want to smooth out any ups and downs. They want to be thinking primarily in dollars because it means they do less math on the back end. I think also a lot of younger people I spoke with, this is their only portal into investing. They don't have enough money to buy in shares. They don't have enough money to buy huge lump sums. So they're instead investing $10, $20, $100, and that automatically means they're thinking in that mindset.
How long has this idea of buying fractional shares been around? I mean, this is not brand new, is it?
No, a lot of this stuff isn't brand new. It's just being brought to people in a different way. So we've had penny stocks before, small cap stocks before. A lot of experts I talked to pointed out that, you know, thinking in dollars isn't new. You've always been thinking in dollars because you've had to buy things, but it's just more accessible for people now. A lot of these platforms will, you know, show you the dollar up front. You don't have to kind of do the math on the back end or try and reframe your own approach. It's how it's presented to you.
And who are the biggest beneficiaries of this shift?
It depends who you talk to. So I think when you think about it for the brokers, they're getting a whole new wave of investors. We've seen this big retail boom. This is attracting an entirely new kind of investor. It's making investing much more accessible to people. That's also benefiting the investors. When it's more accessible, that means you get more people into the market. And when I was speaking with one economist, he said the more people you get into the market, the more liquid the market is. So it's kind of, it depends on who you talk to as to who's benefiting the most. But I definitely spoke with a wide range of people who had, you know, either side to say.
Now, I want to ask you about the pros and cons of this. To start, what do the proponents of investing by the dollar say?
I think a lot of people who are drawn to this are drawn to it because it's intuitive. You've already been thinking in dollars with your other financial obligations. You've already been thinking in dollars in terms of your other strategies and other parts of your life. So something like investing that can feel really mysterious to people or intimidating automatically becomes less intimidating. But when you talk to people about the downsides, that's something that comes up again. They say, listen, if you're thinking in dollars and not thinking in shares, maybe you feel more distant from the market movements. Maybe you're not looking at the bigger picture. You're only looking at your own individual portfolio. You're not thinking about what it means when your stock price changes or what it means when a company's value decreases. So you're a little bit more distant from the process, but I think it's really individual. Some people are automatically taking everything into account. Some people are very focused on zooming in. It's a perspective change, I think.
I guess for small investors, it also means you don't have to do the math to find out how many shares you can afford.
Absolutely. And I think that that is especially beneficial to people with less to spend. You don't have to think, how much does $10 buy me? How much can I get for $20 when you know that you could get essentially any piece of some of these really attractive stocks for the amount of money that you hold?
Are there any other risks aside from the psychological pitfalls you mentioned?
There's a lot of debate. I think there's a lot of debate as to whether or not this is skipping over some essential steps that people need to think about when they're first investing, or whether it's going to somehow mess up people's strategies or, you know, buy people into a promise. So I think we don't know just yet. A lot of these platforms are really new. A lot of these brokerages are releasing these platforms just in the last year. So we haven't yet had time to really zoom out, especially in a year like this year, and see what effect this is having.
It seems like this gets into issues of investor psychology and how that affects the decisions we make about investments.
It's a behavior question. It's a behavior question. It's about what you do and what feels good to you. I spoke with one economist, a former chief economist of the SEC, who said it's all about what makes you feel richer. Do you feel richer thinking about the number of dollars you own, or do you feel richer thinking about the number of shares you own? That's really a behavior question.
Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Julia Carpenter, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much again for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. We'll be off Monday for the Martin Luther King holiday, but we'll return on Tuesday. I'm Charlie Turner for The Wall Street Journal.